Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship on this beautiful, cold March day, but it is good to have you here. I want to extend a special welcome to anyone that might be visiting today and want to invite everyone to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment in fellowship in our Judson Chapel in the kitchen next door. I have too many things on my mind this morning. On the inside back cover of the bulletin, you'll see the calendar for this week, and you'll note that the diaconate will be meeting for their monthly meeting and reorganization after the service today. At 3 o'clock, there will be a memorial service for Caroline Landers in the sanctuary, and you'll note that we'll be beginning a Lenten Bible study series this coming Tuesday, and the property trustees will meet in the evening. You also do want to note, especially for church members, next Sunday, immediately after the worship service, we will be having an information meeting for the congregation regarding our prospective tenants for the first floor of the parish house, that we hopefully will have some information at that point that we can share with the congregation. Also, do want to point out that daylight saving time begins next Sunday, and everybody's cheering for that because daylight's going to be later in the day. But for those that come to church in the morning, it means you need to remember to set your clocks ahead 1 hour, or you'll be an hour late as you're coming in, we're to be leaving. So that's next Sunday. We do need to set our clocks ahead 1 hour on Saturday night, or if you get up real early Sunday morning, then you can do it Sunday morning. You'll note also on the back page of the bulletin the America for Christ offering. We are receiving that this month, and you'll be hearing more about that in the coming weeks. Also, the American Baptist Women's Ministry's challenge to the congregation for White Cross to support Tom and Terry Myers in Bulgaria, our missionaries there, was for $225, and you surpassed the goal. Currently, it is at $390, so thank you very much to all who were very generous. So it'll be the $390 plus what the American Baptist Women's Ministry is putting in, the $225. And if someone still wants to make a gift, the envelopes are still out, so you still may make a gift, but we did surpass the goal, so thank you very much. And also the beautiful flowers that are here in the parlor today are from the memorial service for Keith Berry, the brother of Dorothy and Lana, that was held here yesterday, and the family invites you to take a couple flowers home with you after the service to enjoy at home this week. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 338, for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading verses from both the Old Testament and New Testament as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, so let us read responsively from God's holy word. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord.
Though your sins are white as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins,
and purify us from all unrighteousness. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin.
But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense.
Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression?
O God, you do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy.
If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of our whole world.
We come in gratitude for God's forgiveness of us. Our opening hymn is God, Glory Be to God the Father, number 16. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 only. Those who are able, let's stand.
Rage over three in one.
Let us pray together. We gather on this first Sunday of Lent, O God, in repentance and sorrow for all of our offenses against you and others. As we come to worship you, we seek your forgiveness, that our sins may be removed and our spirits made clean and whole. Purify us and enable us to walk in joy and gladness once again. All of this we ask in the name of the one who came to deliver us from sin and death, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May be seated.
We come to that part of the service where we have an opportunity to share our celebrations and concerns as we go to God in prayer. We want to continue to remember Paul Patry. I didn't get to speak with Paul this week, so I'm not sure. He was in rehab last Sunday. He was hoping to be home at the end of the week, so I'm not sure what's going on there. But we do want to keep him in prayer and his family. We want to keep David Tolstrup and Barbara Tolstrup. David continues to be a patient at Glen Ridge and receiving palliative care. Just see him this week, and still his spirit is very strong. His body is weakening, but his spirit is still very strong. So we want to keep the Tolstrup family in prayer. And we want to keep May Upperman in prayer. May was able to be here yesterday and Ash Wednesday service this week, so it was good to see her. We want to keep her in our prayers as well. And we've been hearing a lot about people who passed away. And we, as I mentioned earlier, we had a service here for Keith Berry yesterday. We want to keep the Berry and Cooper family in prayer, and Lon and Dorothy especially, as they're here today. And I want to keep his sister Edith and Matthew Talbert in prayer as they're traveling back to New York today. So I want to keep them in prayer as well. And the other family members that were able to be here yesterday. We're going to keep that family in prayer. We want to keep the Landers family in prayer today as they come to the church for memorial service with Caroline. And also learn this week, those of you who have been here quite a while, Tonda Ellis Kumha did pass away Tuesday night, and there's a funeral service planned in North Carolina where she was living with her family for this coming Tuesday afternoon. So we want to keep that family in prayer as well. And I know some of you know of other people in your circles that have lost loved ones recently, and we just want to keep all families that are hurting today and in that way in our prayers. Do you have any requests for prayer this morning, either celebrations or concerns? Betty?
From my niece Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
She don't feel great.
Okay.
They also had a celebration that Tony also got a job.
Good.
So that's good.
Good.
He likes it.
Good. That's good. Good that Phyllis is able to be here today, so good. Weather is a little bit better, cold, but you know, safe underfoot, and so I'm glad that Phyllis is able to get here today. Anyone else have a prayer request?
We all heard this morning on the news about the terrible fire in, I think it was Warwick.
Warwick, right. Mm-hmm.
Mother and four children died in the fire. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a terrible thing. But
we want to keep that family in prayer. Others that have lost loved ones, lost their lives in fires recently. There have been some devastating fires in the past week. The winds have been very bad. I know the weather notice is coming out that they were in high fire danger because
right.
It's so dry in the wind. So we especially want to keep that family in Warwick, Massachusetts. Prayer today. Anyone else have a prayer?
I'm over here.
Yes.
Ask for prayers for my son who's traveling. Very unique situation. A friend of his passed away and had no family around here and was from Michigan. And Todd said, I'll bring the body. So he loaded the casket in the back of his truck on Friday and took it to Michigan to the family. And he's out there now and will be back. I don't know, he's on vacation this week, so I don't know when he'll be back. But he's going to have to travel from Michigan, which in the middle of the country can be a lot of fun in the winter. Especially the New York Thruway in the winter. That's not pleasant.
But, and I believe Gail's traveling today also.
She'll be back tonight from 85 degrees to whatever we have here.
So we'll pray for your family members that are traveling, others that may be traveling as well. We want to keep them in our prayers. They also have a prayer request. Liz?
I've got a friend who's having problems with her eyes. Okay. Scar tissues on her lenses. So she's got several surgeries ahead of her, so we can just pray.
So I keep her in prayer too, that's facing several surgeries, and hopefully vision will be restored.
I have one of my best friends, her family, her sister's in hospice.
Okay.
And I'd like to pray for her.
First name?
Cheryl.
Cheryl. Okay. Want to pray for Cheryl and family? Okay. Anybody else? Let's go to God. Oh, did I say hand over there, Rosa? No? Okay. Then let's go to God. Lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart, let's pray together. Thank you for the opportunity to come together today to worship you. We look outside, oh God, and we see the beautiful sunshine, but if we open the door, we realize how cold it is outside. Lord, we yearn for the warmth of the sun, and while that is doing some of its job of warming, it's just the air is so cold. And the wind has been so biting the last few days, oh Lord. Lord, we're thankful that we have shelter, that we can enter, and we can heat, that we can be relatively warm in. Lord, we pray for those that do not have that type of shelter. Those who either do not have adequate shelter or don't have shelter at all, and those that are, you know, living on the street, as we say, perhaps under a bridge, trying to find some place that's not quite as cold. But we're mindful of those people today, people that are in need. And we know that you call us and challenge us to look beyond ourselves, to look to our brothers and sisters in our communities, and to try and help them. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be wise in all that you've given to us, that we may be wise stewards of our blessings, that what we share with others that may be beneficial for them and not just a handout to get them on their way, but it may actually help solve the issues that they're dealing with. And Lord, we know we can't do it alone. We thank you for the agencies that we have in the greater Malden community that reach out to those who are hungry, those who need housing, those who are hurting in different ways. Lord, we're thankful that we're able to be part of some of those communities, some of those agencies, both individually and collectively as our congregation. Lord, just keep our minds open. Keep our eyes open to be looking to the needs in the world around us. And then give us the means to reach out in that way. Lord, we lift up those today who we've mentioned and those others who are ill and injured and needing medical care. And just pray, Lord, that healing may take place in their lives according to your will for them. We pray for the caregivers as well, God, that at times it can be, burnout can take place, that it's just such a monumental task. We just pray for those that are in that type of scene right now, and just pray that they may not become too tired, they may not get burned out, that they may have respite. There may be others that can step in temporarily. Lord, we also pray for those who are in mourning today, who are missing a loved one, missing the care and the love and the joy that a loved one brought. We've mentioned three families today, oh God, and we just lift them especially up to you and pray for your comfort and your peace to be with them in this time, this difficult time. Oh God, we also pray for our nation. We pray for the leadership, and we pray that the decisions that are made are best for all people in our nation, all of our country. Lord, we hear people talking back and forth and arguing, and we just don't know where to go, oh God, with some of our thoughts. And Lord, we just pray, though, that our leadership may turn to you for guidance, that they will not be doing things just on their own, because we know that they can't survive on their own, but they need your strength and your power to make the decisions that need to be made. And in that, Lord, we know that we do not live in isolation, that we are part of a global world. We pray, oh God, for those around the world as well that interact with us, whether it's through trade, whether it's through defense, whether it's through humanitarian aid, and other ways that we have interlocking and intergrowing ways of working with each other. Lord, we pray that those ways may be strengthened. Not saying that we have the best answers, or that we are dependent and interdependent upon each other. This day, O God, we lift up those places that are in war, where there is violence taking place. And we pray, O God, that there may be peace around this world, that the Prince of Peace, the kind of peace that Christ offers, may come. There's nothing we can create on our own, but we look to you. If there's some way that you can use us to foster that peace, help us to do that, O God. Lord, we lift all of these things now to you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the first Sunday of the month, and we do celebrate the Lord's Supper as part of our first Sunday of the month service. And so on these Sundays, we receive two different offerings. This first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering. Goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts. Thank you. Gift to us, dying on the cross, paying the price for our sins. Help us to share that good news with others through these gifts and our actions. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson comes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 1, and then verses 10 through 20. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you.
Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words from your prophet Isaiah, your words to a nation, your people, Lord, we can say, oh, that doesn't apply to us, that's ancient times. But Lord, there is an application for us as well, for your word is eternal. Lord, we pray that we may take these words to heart today, that in these moments together we may gain a greater understanding of your word for us and what you would have us to be doing. Lord, we do come knowing that we are all sinners, that we all make mistakes. We do not measure up to your glory and your expectation for us. So in these moments, Lord, we pray that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. And we ask this all in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever looked at a hamper or a basket of dirty clothes and wished that they would clean themselves? We may not be very far from that possibility. For according to a study published a few years ago, dunking cotton into a vat of specially crafted nanoparticles creates a material that self-cleans when exposed to sunlight. In one test, Chinese engineers dyed materials for 30 minutes in an orange dye. They then hung the clothes beneath simulated sunlight. The dye's hold on the fabric broke, and after a while, easily washed away with water. Imagine just one of the applications would be there'd be no need to stuff our carry-on bags with extra t-shirts and blouses. We could take just a couple changes of clothes for our trip and not worry about running out of clean clothing. Self-cleaning clothes, however, are not an excuse for laziness. Something is still required of the one who desires cleanliness. We can't just rip off our clothes at night and leave them in a pile only to put them on fresh the next morning. That doesn't quite happen that way. We still need to, at the very least, both hang them up and rinse them, which is strangely similar to God's demands of Israel through the prophet Isaiah. In other words, to be restored, to be washed clean, some work is necessary. We see the connection to laundry in verse 18 of today's text. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. The stains of sin that defile the fabric of our lives can be removed so that our garments look as pure as the driven snow and as soft and pleasant as wool. But I want us to spend a couple moments looking a little deeper at today's scripture. I think you got the message, God is not happy. According to Isaiah, God's people and the nation of Israel have turned away. They are worshiping false gods. But that's not the only reason why God is not pleased. Israel has not only forgotten the Lord their God, Israel has also forgotten Israel. The people have lost their way. Once they were an oppressed and exploited people. they were slaves in their history, but somewhere in their journey as people, those who were once oppressed have become the oppressor. A people who believed they were acting rightly by offering sacrifices, remaining ritually clean, were in fact both sinning and unclean. They're so filthy that God shouts through Isaiah, "When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more." The people probably believed that they were obeying God's law, fulfilling it, doing what the people learned through Moses and the Ten Commandments and other laws that God gave the people in the wilderness. They thought that they were obeying God. But the Lord responds through Isaiah, "Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me." These are harsh yet clear words uttered by the prophet, demanding more. A prophet unwilling for compromise. And we may ask why. Because the poor are suffering. The widows and orphans are forgotten. The aliens are abused. And God cannot allow Israel, the people of God, to act that way. So God offers them an out. Destruction is not inevitable. That's the good news. Both redemption and reconciliation are readily available for those who are willing to wash themselves. But what exactly did this washing oneself for Isaiah look like? Perhaps along with the priests and the kings of Israel, we would define washing as repentance, belief, and worship. But that's the difficult part, because Israel is not to do any of these things that are commonly granted, that we take for granted within our Christian communities. Even if we use Isaiah's language, God, through Isaiah, does not demand from us prayer or worship, a good heart, or even evangelism. "Even though you make many prayers," Isaiah says, "I will not listen, because your hands are full of blood." The solution to washing oneself clean, then, the solution that God offers to Israel in this scene, demands purity and cleanliness, a purity and cleanliness rooted in action, in order to restore their stained hands, their relationship with God. Israel has to listen and learn to do good. This is particularly important because a right relationship with God, according to Isaiah, is centered on right action, good deeds, carried out on behalf of the oppressed, the poor, and the marginalized. It wasn't enough just to do what the law said to do. It was more like, what's in your heart? Don't go through just the motions, but put those beliefs into action. Listen to the list of demands that God makes of his people in verses 16 and 17 of today's text. "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow." God makes a wonderful promise in the next verse. "You are stained with sin, but I will wash you clean as snow. Although your stains are deep red, you will be as white as wool." That sounds wonderful. It's like, let me add it. But there's a catch, for the Lord continues in the next verse, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things the land produces." Notice the contingency. If you are willing and obedient. The washing clean only happens after the obedience. In other words, in order to be washed clean, in order to make yourselves clean, injustice and exploitation must be faced and remedied. We have to remember, too, that Isaiah was writing to both, not just the people, but also to the leadership of the nation, especially when he was talking about the injustices. Yet the consequences are steep. For if we don't do that, but if you refuse and rebel, Isaiah says, you shall be devoured by the sword. In other words, injustice is akin to violence, and to act unjustly is to be devoured by our own violence. According to Isaiah, then, there is no middle ground. We either act according to God's will, or we risk the consequences of ruin. It is especially timely to reflect on this teaching as we begin the season of Lent. Have we given up some pleasure that we enjoy for the season? Or have we taken on some new discipline for the next 6 weeks in the season of reflection and repentance? If it is entirely inward focused, our planned Lenten activities may not be enough. For the teaching from Isaiah leads us to look beyond just our personal practices to those of the groups to which we belong. Families, church, neighborhoods, and even our nation. Are the people with whom we associate working towards God's justice? If not, then Isaiah tells us that we need to be more proactive and prod them in helping them and reaching out to those in need. God is talking to us through the prophet Isaiah. Do you want self-cleaning clothes? Well, you need to do the dirty work. Take them off, plunge them in water, and hang them up to dry in the S-O-N, the sun's pure rays. If, and it's a contingent if we do that, then the Lord says, I'll wash the clothes clean. First there's justice, and then there's reconciliation. So where do we go from here? We look over the list in Isaiah that the Lord says to cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. So how are we doing, both individually and collectively as a congregation? Are we more focused on our offerings and rituals, our worship, than the will of God regarding personal and systemic justice? After doing our evaluation, we need to not stop there, but to go and to do, to be active. In other words, at some point the conversation must end, and when it does, action must begin. And that's what Isaiah was calling the people to do, to be people of action. Self-cleaning clothes, in the end, are a great idea, but a bit misleading. They still require something of us, namely a removal, a plunging, and a hanging, all of which are necessary before our clothes can be cleaned, made new, and restored. For us, reconciliation, washing our sins clean, requires the embodiment of God's justice in and throughout all of our communities. We're not solely alone. We're not isolated believers. We're here collectively, but we also, when we leave here, we are continue to be part of different communities, and God is calling us to be involved in those communities, to seek out and work for God's justice in those areas. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we hear your call to both individual and communal justice. Lord, we pray that we may hear your voice and see you leading us in the ways that you would have us work. As we have come to worship this day, O God, we believe that we are doing what you have called us to do. But we also hear you saying it's not enough. Help us, Lord, to see those who are oppressed, to those who need help. And help us to not be afraid, but help us to perhaps not do the work alone, but to join with others in addressing the needs of your people so that none will be oppressed, and that we cannot be viewed as being oppressors. Lord, we take this lesson, your words from Isaiah, ancient words, but yes, that yet can be applied today. And Lord, we'd love to have self-cleaning lives. That would be so easy to do. We know, Lord, that it's only through Jesus Christ who came to clean us, to pay the price for our sins that stain us. And Lord, we just pray that through Christ and his Spirit, we may be empowered to reach out to others as we go our separate ways, that we will not be frightened, we will be challenged and empowered to do what you are calling us to do. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is Cleanse Me, number 516. We're singing verses 1 and 2. Seated.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we received two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive was used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. Deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering.
Remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress.
that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and his people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute of our property, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of a faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life, and who has called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers in the name of his Son.
I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 750. We're not going to read it just this moment, but I want you to have it open and ready, so that when we are ready to read it, you'll have it. You won't have to pause for that. 750. This is another scripture that we'll be reading in a few moments as we conclude our prayer of confession to God. I'm going to ask that we read those words responsively. But first, the words of institution. For Jesus is the host of our meal today, host of the table. And as the host, Jesus offers an invitation to each of us and says, do you love me? Do you know me? Do you believe that I went to the cross and died for you, paying the price for your sins, so that you may be washed clean of all the stuff that's staining you right now, and that you may be prepared, that you may live forever with me in heaven, and that I'm preparing a special place just for you and all my followers? And if we're able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, then Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today. For Jesus invites all followers, all believers, to eat and drink with him. We have not earned a seat at this table. There's no place guaranteed for us with our name on it because of all the great things we've done. We are only coming to the table through the grace of Jesus Christ. So in these moments, I invite you to confess in silence to God those sins that you are aware of, that you have committed, and ask for forgiveness. And right after that, I will call us into reading our responsive prayer. So let's pray silently now. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do pray that you would prepare us now by purifying us and cleansing us. We pray now that you would also receive the words that we are about to pray out loud as we read the scripture together. Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Test me and know my anxious thoughts.
See if there is any offensive way in me.
Lead me in the way everlasting.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love.
Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
We come to the table, we are again reminded of Jesus last night together with his disciples. They had a meal together, they were celebrating the Passover, reenacting the Jewish people, the Israelites being delivered from slavery in Egypt with Moses, so many generations before that. So they were reenacting that, but a meal that they knew the words to, but Jesus added new meaning and new words and was encouraging them to, whenever in the future they ate together, that they would remember him in doing that. And as part of that, Jesus took bread, a common part of the meal, and gave thanks to God for the bread. And after doing so, these new words, he said, this bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Jesus took the cup and again gave thanks to God for the cup, began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, saying, "This cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Jesus Christ, shed on the cross,
that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, you are our righteousness. We are your sin. You took on you what was ours, yet set on us what was yours. You became what you are not, that we might become what we are not. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Amen. The scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn before they went out that night. Our closing hymn is number 472, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, singing verse 1 only. Forgiven. May we go from this place in peace, knowing that our merciful Lord has offered us forgiveness and new life. Amen. Amen.